So, Father, we just thank you for this night and or morning, depending on where we're at. And we just thank you that it's going to be blessed in Jesus' name. We just thank you for just guiding and directing us tonight and just allowing us to be edifying and just share testimonies and what you're showing us and to be able to encourage and to lift up and to help others in the group and pray for each other. And we just thank you for this awesome time together, and we just call it blessed. We thank you. There will be no issues with any of the equipment, any of the bandwidth, and it will be a perfect night. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We bind up the principalities and powers that would try to bring any hindrance and just binding people up to not share what they need is on their hearts. We thank you for just a blessed night in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead. We can go ahead and pray like we usually do. And if anybody needs prayer or wants to pray for somebody, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Does anybody need prayer? Anyone want to pray?
Yes, sir.
There's just a lot of people being displaced with the fires that are going on from Montana all the way to Arizona. And I know that there are judgments that are going on in the land. But just to pray for the protection of the righteous and for, you know, that people, because I know right here in Montana, there's one little place here where there's been, I think, 19 houses that people have been, had to leave their houses and run for their hide. And mainly that I think that God would keep the righteous in the midst of all of the dealings.
Well, amen. Why don't you go ahead and pray, and we'll just center in our faith with you.
Well, Heavenly Father, can you go ahead.
Brother. I was just going to say over here, our county the whole county is under a level one evacuation alert, which is just be advised. But we've got some massive fires going on also here. And we have so many cinders coming down, it's hard to keep anything clean. It's just this. So even though we don't have a real close fire here, it's just a lot of people are getting really scared. So just
Malcolm, why don't you pray, brother? I think you're closer to it than I am.
Well, you go ahead and I'll pray too. How's that?
Well, Heavenly Father, we do pray firstly for the righteous Lord, for the true saints of God, that you would put a perimeter of angels around them to keep their properties and to keep the places where they call home. I pray, Lord, that you would make a strong and clear statement between the righteous and the unrighteous, Lord, and that you would do a miracle and keep your own people and protect them during this time all the way from Arizona to Washington, Lord, and Montana and all over. There's so many fires, Lord, from Utah, everywhere. I pray, God, that you would... I understand that there are dealings going on, but I pray you protect the righteous in Jesus' name, and that ultimately it would turn for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the brother that you prayed for the other day, Stanley, that I told you that the fires was a mile away from his house and the wind blowing straight at his house, and he said that the Lord told him, stand and don't move. The Lord said, you will not burn, your place will not burn. I'm not going to let it. And this is a righteous brother. And wind turned, it went around him.
Praise the Lord. Man, I've been praying for him. And, that is just, man, we serve an awesome Father. Because I shared with you, there was, I don't know how many of you guys remember, but I don't remember who it was, but somebody came in and had the same situation. They could see the fire through the forest, and I think they were told to evacuate, and they called into this conference and said, I'm just wavering in my faith, I need help. And we all kind of entered in prayer and stood in faith. And then he called back the next Tuesday or whatever it was, and he said that, I forget what the details were, but it was like an hour or so after we prayed, it rained for like 10 or 15 minutes, and then it quit. And he it was a test for his faith, and he was like, no, I'm standing in faith. And then he said later on that night, he said it started raining, and it rained all night long. And he said that rain was not even in the forecast. And it was just awesome how, you know, we just put our faith with his, and the Lord just came through and just provided that protection. So that's awesome to hear. So I love testimonies like that. So, all right, Malcolm, do you want to go ahead and pray?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, just relate some things that have happened. There's people have been, of course, a few days ago the wind was really high coming from the south, and the fires were moving pretty quickly. Anyway, but over across the river from us, there was a fire going, and there was a gentleman that had a pickup with his horse trailer, and he got his horses in it, but then the fire got there too fast, and he just took off, left his truck, trailer, horses, everything, and when he came back, the horses were, you know, he had to bury the horses. So it's pretty, some pretty sad stuff, and it's what's really also sad, a lot of buildings are being lost, a lot of houses and homes, but just the animals, you know, the wildlife or the domestic life is just, you know, so I'll just go ahead and pray also. Lord, I just ask that you have mercy in your judgments, especially, I want to pray for the wildlife, all the deer and the, you know, everything, that all your creatures that you have out in the woods and the birds and everything, that you'll make a way of escape for them. And we know you have prophesied in the Old Testament that the beast languish and all these terrible things. We just pray right here and now for your mercy for them. Also, I want to pray for all of your elect that are in harm's way, that you will not forget them, that you will instill faith in their hearts, or they'll do whatever miracles it takes to protect your elect. And I pray also, Lord, that the fear that people are experiencing in these different areas, Lord, that you will cause that fear to be of you. People will understand, will come to understand that it's you to be feared, that, like you said in the Revelation, the fear of the Lord, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And I pray, Lord, for all of us on this call, Lord, that we will, obedient to the tests and the situations that you place us in, that we'll truly die, and that we will forgive from the heart, and we'll have no bitterness. I just thank you for that grace and for fulfilling your promises to us. Cause us to just be in your word and on our knees, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Tim, one more comment. I have a list of prophecies that I have. I sort of sorted them out, the ones that I really believe are true prophetic words, and they all are pretty consistent, though, you know, and I keep this stack of them. And one of the things that many of them say is that there will be fires throughout the United States, many, many fires at the same time that the big earthquake divides the United States.
As far as... Can you share some of the other common things that you've been collecting as far as with those prophecies? I mean, what you're seeing as far as a pattern or that? Or
well, yeah, the things that are consistent throughout all of them is that, you know, Florida will be underwater, both east and west coasts, that the seas are going to rise greatly. That's one thing that's very consistent with all of them, is the seas are going to rise worldwide, and that all the coastal cities will be inundated and will be underwater. And then there's enormous earthquakes east and west coast, and then the middle of the United States will be divided from one place to the other, that we will be nuked by Russia and China. Those are just some of the things that are pretty consistent. There will be also plagues, you know, that are going to be loosed upon the people and all over, many, many very deadly plagues. And the cities are not going to be a good place to be hanging out. The big cities are going to be very very bad crowds are going to be plundering and starving and a lot of famine going on, and just, you know, on every front. But that's some of the things that are very consistent, is that there will be fires everywhere. That's one thing all of them say, fires all over. And it could be, part of it could be this Nibiru thing, you know, with the trail of debris that's going to be coming with that. It may start a lot of fires, too. That's another way. But they said it was all over the place. So I don't know, you know, what's going to cause it. But I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I remember Dimitri Duderman talking about America will burn, you know.
He was talking about the nuclear thing, I think, when I read that vision of his.
Okay.
But the other ones that say fires all over the United States, fires, many, many fires. And at the same time that the big earthquake takes place, that splits the United States from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico and puts an inland sea, I have probably 20 visions that say that exact same thing. Maybe, I don't know exactly how many, but a whole lot of them. And it's say the inland sea that cannot be passed over. And that at the time that happens, there'll be fires all over. And the people didn't know why the fires were there, but there were fires everywhere.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard that. Go ahead.
We just have a friend that drove he went all the way from Utah through Idaho through Montana and all the way, never saw a thing. Hardly, it was just smoke all the way, thick smoke from beyond Utah, Salt Lake, beyond that.
All the way. That's amazing. The Lord has had me out of the news. Do you have smoke there or no?
We can't see anything here.
Okay,
But it's the fires are probably 50 or 60 miles, the closest fires from here, but we still can't see anything. Because there's a lot of the smoke's blowing in from Washington and Oregon and Idaho. Mm. But there's a big one on the border of Idaho and Montana.
Here in Mountain Home, the smoke is terrible. The air quality is at code red or whatever. It's pretty bad.
And whereabouts is Mountain Home?
We're south and east of Boise by about, it's like a 45-minute drive.
Is that in Idaho?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting, I've shared this before, but when we ended up leaving Ohio, I had somebody help move us, and you know, he asked me why we were moving to Ohio or moving to, you know, to Tennessee, and I'd shared with him what, you know, we felt was coming, and he shared with me. I mean, this guy was not a strong Christian at all, because after this whole situation, he had a medical issue. He was going in for an operation, and I just wanted to pray for him. And he kind of lost it on me that he didn't have the faith for that. And he just, you know, he wouldn't let me pray for him. But the thing was, is that the Lord took him up in a vision, and he saw, and he never shared this with anybody, but he had a vision, and the Lord took him up in this vision, and he saw the United States split in two. He saw Florida and the East and West Coast just totally devastated with water. And he was sharing that dream with me, and I told him that there was many other prophecies that I could, you know, turn him on to that would show that exact same thing. And he was totally amazed. He'd never heard anything like that, but the Lord had showed him that. So I thought that was very interesting, because he was kind of a very weak church Christian, but the Lord had given him that vision or that dream or whatever the situation was. So, you know, he's bringing the warning out in dreams. So, that's awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. I guess let's just throw it out as far as, does anybody have anything on their heart they'd like to talk about tonight? Any subject or anything like that they'd like to bring forth? or maybe even where you think we've, you know, has the Lord been showing you as far as anything, as far as where we are in these, you know, in these days? Because we're hearing a lot pointing towards September. And, I mean, and before we came on the broadcast, Malcolm was sharing that, you know, there was a, you want to just go ahead and share that? I mean, a little bit of that, Malcolm, as
sure.
far as.
Yeah, we're, I wasn't able to take in all of what Henry Grover's, because he goes to a lot of different kind of remote places in our area, which I think is pretty cool. One thing I was quite impressed with, was also frustrating to me, was that he was speaking at some places that I wouldn't put my feet in those doors if he weren't there. And there was stuff going on before he spoke that I thought, oh my goodness. And he just kind of rolls with it, you know, and it's just amazing. He doesn't always confront. Sometimes he will in some situations, but I walked away with a feeling, because I don't fellowship with anybody here, because of the false revival stuff that I had. The fellowship was that I walked away from was just very involved in the false revival stuff, and it was almost overwhelming. I felt like, well, this whole place is it all false revival? These same people were still buying off in the same old buddies from way back when that are spear leaders and all this herky jerky stuff, you know, and dogs barking and the whole works. And although I fortunately didn't have to see any of that, but a lot of the folks that are just, man, under the curse big time. Their spouses have died or extremely sick, or it's just heartbreaking. Of course, people get older too, but it's just, I really was frustrated by the seemingly overwhelming false revival type of stuff going on, or, you know, the people that are still hanging on to this stuff. So it was really, I guess it was really good to see Henry, but I just wanted, I guess it's on my heart to pray for this area here. And I know you know, people have been talking about this area. The Lord's been showing them that this place is a refuge. And actually, somebody else that I heard of just before all this weekend that Henry Grover was here, I talked to a close friend of ours that has property nearby. And the person that bought property adjacent to his actually... my friend is, by the way, not spirit-filled or anything. He's quite as involved in this denomination that I came out of. But anyway, this guy that bought property near his place told them all about the Kundalini spirits and the whole false revival thing coming that's been going on. And turned him on to all that stuff, which I've already done a few years ago. But just having him hear it from somebody outside of his circles, I think, was kind of impressive to him. But anyway, it was kind of heartening for me to find out there's somebody else in this area that also is, you know, has. I wouldn't say I have my eyes open, but they're at least they're aware of that. Not everything is cool with the false revival movement, which seems to be so prevalent here. So that was encouraging. Also, the Lord has been leading this guy by this guy, I mean the guy who owns property next to my friend, my friend's property. The Lord has been leading him to build kind of a refuge get some supplies together and get bunk beds and all, you know, stuff like this, which I thought was kind of interesting. I think that's it from this end.
Yeah, but you'd mentioned something. There was a lady that wanted him to endorse a letter for about the rapture happening on the 15th of September or something.
Sometime in September, the pastor of one of the churches, it was a false revival type place, he said that a lot of God's prophets have been saying that in September is when everything is going to break loose. And he said he didn't know himself personally. He didn't know how it was going to turn out, but he had just heard this from a lot of people. So apparently that he respected. Anyway, what this lady was wanting Henry Gruver to bless was a letter that she was either an ad or a letter to the editor or an article that she was going to submit that the rapture would occur in September, some date in September, and it was like a definite date. And I mean, she was serious, and so were a whole bunch of other people sitting there with her. And she was so just totally confident that Henry was going to, pray over this and bless it, that for publication. So he was very gracious and kind about the way he declined, but it was. I thought, man, what is going on in this area? Some people are going to look like absolute fools when this is, things could go a totally different direction. So he said, well, these dates have come and gone for so many years now, and he said, I'm really looking to see, to find a bride that's spotless and blemishless, and all these different things he listed off as criteria for the bride. And I don't know what his understanding of the bride is, but, he had a good point there. But I just don't see the bride being that way right now.
No, not at all.
And I think what he was referring to was the church as the bride, which, I think we understand the bride to be a subset.
Amen. Yeah, it's interesting because you had mentioned that he's going into places that, it's like, well, I wouldn't go in there. But I was in the Word, this week, and I was seeing where, it said that Jesus went into their synagogues. If there was definitely a their synagogue there. And so, I mean, if he's led of the Lord, the Lord will send him in there for a warning. And if they've got idols and think that they're just going to fly away and they don't receive him or, don't take, the warning seriously or anything like that, if he's led of the Lord to bring a warning and they, they don't want to hear it, then, it's, there's no blood on his hands, as far as that. So, but
it was nice that he was very well received and highly respected. So that was
awesome.
We've had a lot of time with Henry, and he's more comfortable, I think, in living room somewhere, or even with two or three sharing heart to heart. I've been in situations where we sat down and shared for 6 or 7 hours at a time, just shared back and forth with the Word. And he's comfortable in those settings. It's pretty hard to get him into a big church. He's only been to one mega church, and he got pretty much got deep trouble at that one. But
so how do we get him to Tennessee?
Well, he comes through there. He comes through that country. But,
hey, Michael?
Yeah,
I was just going to say, did he say anything to you about what's going on in the home churches in China?
Well, I don't think he was in the home churches in China. He spent some time in Taiwan, and he spent some time in South Korea and Singapore and then Japan. That's where he spent almost all his time.
He mentioned something here that really I thought was rather amazing. He said that while he was in China as an ambassador for 2 days, and I don't know what he meant, an ambassador.
Oh, okay. He did go to China about 3 or 4 years ago. The Lord opened the door supernaturally. It's quite a story. He ended up being in this, just invited supernaturally to this situation where he ended up sitting in the Great Hall of China with all the leaders of China, and spent and got to go on the Great Wall of China. Anyway, he led a couple of them to the Lord, of the top Chinese, big time officials over there. A couple of them got led to the Lord, and he went with one of them on the Great Wall of China and took a walk with him and ended up leading him to the Lord. And then another man, when he found out this other guy was led to the Lord, he got angry with him and said, we brought you over here and let you come in it with diplomatic status in this situation, and you go talking about religion. And then the guy, that same guy that was angry, says, now can I talk with you for a minute? And got him aside and wanted to talk. He ended up leading him to the Lord. And the guy was serious with him at first. And when he started sharing with him, the man wanted to talk more. He said, I don't know if you know what you've done to me, but my whole world is upside down now. I'm facing some incredible changes and decisions.
I mean, that's amazing. Somebody that was just led to the Lord leads another angry person to the Lord that quick.
No, it wasn't like that. It was Henry. They confronted Henry for leading this other guy to the Lord.
Oh, okay.
And the guy that confronted Henry ended up sharing with him. The man says, I want to talk with you more on this. And he ended up leading him to the Lord. And he was one of the officials in the diplomatic, they eat at the Great Hall of China or whatever it is. So he was. I've seen the videos of this. It was quite amazing.
Did he mention to you that after he got either in the States or somewhere on CCTV, the Chinese national news network or whatever, the guy that he had talked with made a proclamation or made some. He just invited everybody to come to Beijing of the home churches, and he wanted to make things right. Did he run that by you?
No, I hadn't heard that particular.
And then he it sounded like it was quite recent. And then what he said was that just to tell you, you know, and of course people are going to be suspicious of people from attending home churches coming to Beijing. I mean, that sounds like a perfect setup. So he said, just to show you, I'm serious about what I'm saying. He said, I'm passing this law or I'm something to the effect that any home church above or less than 100 people will not be hassled or will be allowed in China from now on. And he said, we just want to make things right with you.
Well, maybe he went in another situation that I'm not aware of yet. I do know that he led the president of Toyota to the Lord and,
yeah,
that the man really got saved, and
that's major. If 100 people or less are allowed to meet without a problem, that would be absolutely earth shattering.
Yeah, that would. And by the way, I know that was a little out of context because the Toyota guy was in Japan, but I wonder if he when he's speaking, would he be Taiwan would be considered China or no? Because he talked about China thinks it's part of
He talked specifically about Taiwan, somebody asked him to come over and walk the red light district with him, he just got no peace over it, and he didn't actually go back until about 15 years later. So he went into a little bit of that history regarding going to Taiwan. I mean Taipei, which is the capital, of course.
Awesome. He's got some great testimonies. When I read his testimonies, there's a total blessing as far as that. So, Michael Montana, do you have any other testimonies is on your heart to share about Henry?
Well, you know, I'm not going to tell stories, but we spent quite a bit of time together. It's been a real blessing. Last year, he spent, 4 or 5 days with us. And we just can just get heart to heart, sit down, it's a rich time when we get to share with the brother. And I took him fishing a couple times. He hasn't fished in years, but he likes to do that. And so I took him out fishing for a couple times. unwind. He didn't get any rest. You know, usually he's preaching every day, a couple times a day, a lot of times for, you know, like I think he's maybe at home like 10 or 15 days a year or something like that. A lot of times he's out, gone. So, but it's been a blessing that he's comes here and stays with us.
I'm sure he enjoyed that, just to be able to chill out and not, you know, just enjoy himself.
Yeah, but he's got some incredible stories of the Lord's work in his life. I mean, amazing stories, you know. His daughter raised him from the dead, and I mean, he's raised his own child from the dead, and he's had so many amazing things that happen. Just a simple brother, loves God, loves people, and he's kept himself, you know. He doesn't have so much as a parking ticket in his whole life. I mean, the guy's walked that kind of a carefulness since the very beginning.
Wow.
Hey, Michael, isn't he getting on up there?
What now?
Isn't he getting on up there in age now?
I think he's like 78, 79 maybe.
Oh, okay. I was getting younger every day.
But there's no highway miles. He's walked and walked. He can still outwalk most young fellows. He walks up mountains, walks, you know.
Yeah.
Because he walks and prays all over places. And I think the main thing that the Lord has taught him, one of his main principles about praying is that, like, for instance, whenever innocent blood, for instance, is shed, you know, the land is polluted. And he says, if you take, you find a bar or an abortion clinic or some dark place, and he said, inevitably something very evil took place on that piece of land that gave the enemy legal right to that piece of land. And he said that what the Lord showed him, he was over in on the river. I forget which river, over in Europe one time when the Lord began to teach him this, and he was, because he can hear many times innocent blood screaming out of the ground. He can hear it. I mean, it's just like his. And he was on this mountain walking, and he heard these girls screaming, little girls screaming and screaming with terror. And he's running frantically through the brush trying to find out what's going on, you know, and he can't. And he could still hear it. And finally, he started digging in the ground. It was like he didn't know if they were under the ground or what's going on. But it was just terrifying. And the Lord said, Henry, stop. And he stopped. And the Lord said, showed him an open vision of what had happened there. And he showed these Roman soldiers that had kidnapped, just grabbed a bunch of the children when they were coming through. They took a bunch of the little girls in the city and took them for themselves and abused them and then killed them and threw their bodies in the river. And he could hear that screaming out of the ground, the innocent blood. And he goes, and he just said, God, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord says, I want you to cleanse this land. And the Lord began to teach him about the scripture that says, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And that whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto you, and whoever sins you. And the only way that you can cleanse the land is to remit the sins that were, you can remit sin even of those that, when he comes onto a piece of land that he prays over, when he hears the crying of blood, he remits all sin that was committed on this piece of land all the way back to Adam and all oaths and covenants with darkness, and he remits all of it in Jesus' name, and then commands the demonic forces that have had legal right to that place to leave, and then claims it for the Lord Jesus, and things change. I mean, he, right here in Kalispell where we live, he came up here and prayed over an abortion clinic with him. We prayed over this abortion clinic, and a year later, some vandal guy came in, vandalized the whole place, tore it to pieces, destroyed it, and now the place is closed completely. It's just there's no abortion clinic in this whole city now. And but there's been many stories like that, you know, and it goes on and on. But, you know, where there'll be murders all over the street, and when he gets done praying in an area, there's no more murders on the street, you know. Because there's a covenant with blood, but that's a lot of what the Lord has taught him over the years in praying. You know, he breaks places that have had great evil. You know, he walked where the Crusades walked. He walked places where there's been great murder and darkness. And but there is a, you can get, yeah, if you're interested, it's called the Prayer Walker's Handbook. He has a little book on walking and praying, and it's called and Joyful Sound Ministries, and it tells all about this, some of these things. I don't need to go into detail. You guys can read it yourself, but I think that all his books like David's are free, and if it's just somebody wants to give something, that's between them and the Lord. He has a book called Visions of a Walker, and then he's got Prayer Walker's Handbook. Both of them are very good books.
Yeah, I know one time I went on his website, and he had a bunch of like little pamphlets or booklets or something you could download. And it was just testimonies throughout his life, you know, just all different situations, you know, and just and some of them were just, you know, teach him how to, you know, just grow in the faith. But it was, I mean, just awesome testimonies where the Lord will wake him up in the middle of the night and send him down to a certain street. And you know, there was a, you know, a guy that was ready to commit suicide, dropping his, you know, his letter in the mailbox or something like that. And, you know, Henry was there to administer to him. And, I mean, it's just, some of these stories are just amazing.
He told me, he said, I lost track a long time. I used to keep track of the suicides that the Lord had me prevent. And he said, I lost track a long time ago and you know, when he told the story when he was in Portland, lived in Portland, and a phone call, this is before caller ID, and in the old days, and a phone call comes to him, and a man says, I just wanted to say goodbye, I'm going to kill myself, and he hung up, and that was it. And he didn't know who it was, he didn't know where it was, and he's praying and pouring his heart out before the Lord, and the Lord said, get in your car. He gets in his car, turn right. And he did this all the way out into the country, in Portland, somewhere outside of Portland, out in the hills or something. And 2 in the morning, and pulls up in front of this house, and the Lord says, go in, don't knock. you better be hearing the Lord. And then there's a man with a pistol ready to pop himself, you know, and he rebukes the man and shares with him. And he knew the brother. And his wife had left him, and he was going to shoot himself. He said, brother, you kill yourself over a woman, brother, you'll end up in a pit. He says, you need to love God more than the woman.
I mean, stories like that are just, I mean, that is totally being led by the Spirit. That's being totally dead to self and totally, you know, in the Spirit and just, you know, hearing the Lord and just following the Lord. And if the Lord knows you're going to do what he asks you to do, he's going to keep having you do it, right?
Yeah, he said that there's the principle, since he was a young man, the Lord showed him a principle. It's a long story, so I won't go into it. But he showed him a principle about whenever you lose your song and your peace, stop and go right back and find out where you lost it. And he maintains a song, peace, and a song. And he says, when the song goes, the piece goes, he stops and finds out where he lost it.
Well, that's a good word right there.
Of what is his name and the name of the web page?
Joyful Sound Ministries. Henry Gruver, Gruver.
Okay, Joyful Sound Ministries.
Yeah.
And his name now?
Henry Gruver, Gruver.
Gruver. Oh, you.
And you might, if you just want to get acquainted, pull up on the internet and listen to 6 Hours in Heaven. And he tells us, in that tape, I think it tells the story both when he got killed and his daughter raised him from the dead, and then when he was taken to heaven for 6 hours. It's quite a story. But that's a good one to get acquainted.
Thank you so much. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think we all will. Because I haven't seen that. I think that would definitely be a blessing. As far as that, so. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you for Henry. We just thank you for just that he is just such a servant of yours, and he's got just the testimonies of your promises and just how awesome you are. And we just thank you for blessing him, guiding him, and providing for him. And we just thank you for just, working through that man. We just ask you continue to bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, now that was, all these little testimonies and that just shows where we can be with the Lord. And, I don't know what it was last week. Michael called me up and said, to pray for this brother Stanley that, the fire is bearing down on his house. And I shared with him the testimony we had on our conference call and that other situation. That just builds our faith when the Lord, does that. There's no doubt there. And, Michael, you're making a lot of noise. Michael Harris. But anyways, it just shares a lot of, it just helps build your faith because we knew what the Lord did and we just stood in agreement. And then we got somebody like Henry Groover out there that's just, just being used to, people committing suicide, praying for innocent blood innocent blood that's crying out and just doing the prayer walking and taking authority and, remitting the sins of what was done in that land and even when Mike and I were talking, he was like, he was heading into the city and he meant, he's like, well, I got to get prayed up because, you go into certain areas and they've got principalities over them. And, there's a draw there. There's a draw, of the world. There's different principalities over different areas. And I even see where we live. There's such a meth issue. There's such a drug issue. There's such a poverty issue. There's certain issues that are just prevalent throughout the whole community. And I've just been, just really trying to, taking authority and just praying. And that's really what the Lord needs us doing is, taking authority over the strongholds over, our area, our city, stuff like that, and just praying and believing. So he just needs our faith. So that's awesome.
Did you ever hear his Siberia story, or did we talk about that?
No. Why don't you share it?
Well, it's quite a testimony. But he went over there. Some brothers were doing some business in Siberia, and they said, "You want to go to Siberia with us? We can get you over there for free, and you can eat with us or whatever you want. And we got a place to stay. So feel free if you want to." And the Lord put it in his heart to do it. So he went over to Siberia. And he was walking in this place, and he found out later he could hear this just a terrible cry coming from this giant hill, and he come to find out because there was a fence around this whole area, and he come to find out that was where they had buried all of the Christians that they had killed in that area, and there was a terrible cry of innocent blood in that place. And so he prayed and prayed, and he had a burden in his heart, and the Lord put it in his heart to put together some flyers and to rent the auditorium. There was a big auditorium in the city. He rented it for $14, and it was a giant auditorium in the city. And he passed out flyers all over the town. Him and his brothers started passing out flyers all over the town. And while he was walking down the street with this other brother, up pulls these KGB guys, and they surrounded him and just stood there. And this other brother goes, "We're going to jail, brother. We're going to jail. I told you this wasn't a good idea. We're going to jail." And he said, "Brother, just hold your peace." And they waited there. And all of a sudden, this other car drives up, really just, and a fancy car drove up, and this well-dressed woman gets out and goes, "Get in with me. Are these your flyers?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Get in with me." And he says, "Do I have to?" And she said, "Oh, you Americans." And so he said, "Would you please then get in with me?" And he gets in this car with this woman. And the woman said, "Let me tell you this story. I'm from TASS News Agency. And I, right now, we just passed a law the first time. We just passed a law. And they met together, the leaders in Moscow, and decided that they would allow religious meetings. This is the first religious meeting. And so your meeting is the first one since they've just allowed this. And we want to know if we can put it on public TV for the whole nation to see." And this is something he uninvited. He just happened at the right timing when we hold this meeting. They decide they're going to televise it over all of Russia, the first religious meeting allowed legally in Russia. And so, and she goes, "By the way, we hear that this God that you serve heals people. Is that true?" And he said, "Yes." She said, "Good, come with me." She drives to the hospital. And the hospital is completely crowded to the point that the aisles are filled with beds in the aisles, that there's no place hardly to walk through there. The place is just filled. And she goes, "Okay, show us here. You pray for us that you heal some of these sick people." And he goes, "Lord, this better be you, because I can't do this in myself." And he turns, and it was a visitation of the Lord, and every person he touched got healed instantly. Supernaturally, he just began to pray for people, and God raised them up one after another, and she goes, "Enough, good, I see, we'll be there tonight." And so he's just going, "Lord," and so he ends up, this crowd is, the place is crowded, this big auditorium completely crowded with people, and he just begins to share the simple gospel with an interpreter, and sharing just the basic gospel of Christ as simple as you can with the people. And all of a sudden, there's a scream in the back, and this woman's running around, and he's saying to the man, "What's going on? What's the woman doing?" And he said, she cannot walk, and she's running all over the place. And all of a sudden, like popcorn, without him praying for anybody, people started jumping up, getting healed all over the place. And the hospital had brought half of their people down there and had them in stretchers and beds all over the front of the place. Every single person in the place got healed, and he didn't pray for anybody. Just the Lord was making a manifestation for Russia and declaring his name, and everybody was seeing this all over. And the hospital people were weeping. All those people jumped up and were healed. He went back and got the rest of the hospital, brought them all back there, and every one of them was healed supernaturally. And he never prayed for anybody. And it was just, and they were done about 1 or 2 in the morning, and he went, and they took him down where they were going to have dinner. They had this nice dinner fixed up, but it was at a bar. And the people were in there dancing, and they all go, "Hey, this is him. We saw it." Everybody had seen it all over. And everywhere he went in Russia, they had seen that presentation where the Lord had visited the place. And it was just one of those things, almost like that story of the Burke story in Anointed for Burial, where the timing in Cambodia was right, and God had a visitation before the place went into great persecution, you know. And but that was the kind of thing that happened over there, and just a visitation of God, and he was in the right place at the right time.
Wow. I just, you know, it's, I think that's what we're going to see is, you know, because right now it's just, you're just not seeing God's power in the church, and, a lot of people have given up on God, and it's going to take a movement like that when things start shaking, and people are going to, that's where the great revival is going to be. Just that outpouring. Amen. It's going to be in the streets, you know. It's not going to be in the mega churches. It's going to be in the streets. Is what I believe. So, Charlie, were you going to say something? Anybody else have a thought as far as what they're seeing, what they're God showing them, anything like that, as far as what times we're in?
Well, we can listen and read about people like Henry Groover and how these miracles follow them around. And the reason that the miracles follow them around is because he has given up his life for Christ. And when you do that, boy, those miracles will follow you around. And it's an awesome time. I don't know much about Henry. I've, since Michael has told us about him, oh, gosh, I don't know. Here a while back, I've looked a little bit into him, but I tell you, it's a prayer life that and talking to God and listening to God and allowing God to guide our life. And when you do that, like he's doing it, my goodness, can't anything happen but miracles of God. I'm reminded of when he started relating, Michael started relating that some of those things that happened to Henry Groover. I've got some people that I know that have walked in similar instances. I'm not going to bring them up now. Let somebody else talk. But it's a prayer life. It's a life dedicated to the Lord that brings those miracles and doing what he wants you to do rather than what we want to do and getting rid of that flesh and that world away from us. And so we can listen to the Holy Spirit lead us and direct our ways. I'm amazed at this man that's 78, 79 years old that just walks everywhere and prays over all kinds of situations. You know, that's his calling on his life that he's had from an early age, if I'm not mistaken, right, Michael?
He was, from early on, probably 17 years old. He had a teen challenge when he was, I think, 19 years old or 20 years old. He was running a teen challenge in Phoenix, Arizona. And then he started his prayer walking very early on when he was, he had the curfew. He couldn't stay out because he wasn't 18 and he was out in the streets. But his mother was a prayer warrior and was a serious prayer warrior.
Amen. Amen. Boy, that's what it takes too. That's why I often pray for intercessors and pray for them to, God to protect them and God to talk to them and work in their lives because they are, boy, I'll tell you what, they bring about a lot from the Lord. Anyway, I just kind of wanted to put my little 2 cents worth in there, Tim.
Well, when I hear these stories, it's like, I just see the distractions in my life and, you know, the little things. It's like, you know, the things that get me out of the spirit and I'm learning, like Michael shared is to, you know, that I like that test, you know, what he shared with Henry is, when the song is gone, go back and figure out, you know, what's going on. And I've been trying to do that as far as being in the rest, you know, where I just, you know, I can get to the peace and then something steals my peace and I see that I'm out of the peace and I got to figure out what stole my peace and get back into the rest. Or I get distracted and I've got to, you know, then I catch myself, you know, where I'm at and I got to pull myself back. And, you know, but it's a constant battle because the world and your flesh and just everything is just, you know, the distractions around you are just trying to, you know, keep pulling you in different areas. But it's just, I love to hear testimonies.
Yeah, that's the thing, Tim, is we allow these daily distractions to keep us out of the Word, out of talking to the Lord, out of, you know, whatever. We want to entertain our flesh more than we want to seek the Lord, spiritually speaking. Seeking him and listening and waiting and patiently waiting to hear from him and all of that. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. And I made a concerted effort to seek the Lord and Well, we're in short times here, and it's time to seek and understand how God talks to us, because in the days ahead, it's going to be imperative that we know what the Lord is saying to us. So, yeah, it brings a conviction on your heart when you know that these daily distractions have hindered your walk with the Lord. I'm guilty, and I repent from it in Jesus' name, and want to seek the Lord with all my heart, and just because I know that it's going to take that type of dedication to the Lord. Nothing else matters right now, I don't believe. To me, nothing else matters than getting in tune with the Lord, getting right with Him, and talking with Him, and understanding how He talks to us, and how He leads us to do these things, and listening to that still small voice that He talks to us at. How are you going to be listening to Him if you're sitting there playing video games and watching TV, or listening to country music on the radio? Not saying anything bad, but I'm just telling you, I can tell you on my own, you know, to get distracted doing things around the house that really don't need to be done. Or whatever, you know, whatever, getting in the truck, running down here and yawning and wherever. When the most important thing right now is seeking the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, I think it's more than the things, you know, like that. I mean, those are definitely distractions and stumbling blocks. But I'm really seeing where we can get distracted in our thoughts and in our mind. And we can get, you know, and those are the other, you know, we're dealing with principalities. So, you know, they put a thought in your head, and, you know, you get into judgment, or you get, you know, you get into fantasy, or you get into whatever it is in your mind. You get into unforgiveness, and then you're dealing with the other spirits that are led in because of that, and then you're just in this turmoil and battle, you know, in your thoughts, and everything is, you know, you can't get into the Word. When you get in the Word, you can't, you know, you're not getting anything out of it because you got too many thoughts that are distracting you from the Word. And that's another whole battle right there, as far as you know, just staying, you know, casting down those vain imaginations, staying in the Spirit, not being, you know, pulled into, you know, those type of battles, you know, because, you know, we get into sin, we get into, you know, whatever it is, and it's just, I mean, on top of the things we put in our life with, you know, internet and stuff like that, then we've got this other spiritual battle going on because we're not in the Word, and, you know, we're distracted in these things, and it's definitely a battle. You know, it's definitely a battle. So there's a lot to it, you know, but it's just, but we bring it all on ourselves, you know, a lot, you know.
Amen. That's right, Tim. You peg it right there. It's those little things that run through our minds that keeps us away from reading the Word and studying the Word and meditating on the Word and trying to seek God and all of that stuff. You know, things run through our minds, and we need to cast those down before we ever start. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, because I had an awesome, you know, time in the Lord this morning, and I really realized I was just in the Word, and it just kept taking me in different directions, and I was just excited, I was just enveloped in the Word, and then I realized I spent probably 4 or 5 hours just totally focused in on the Word, and I looked back, and it was like, man, it's been a while since I've been this deep in the Word. It's just, there's just been a lot of, you know, a lot of things that have been, you know, distracting me, and it was like, wow, I've got to get pressed in, and, you know, I would set things up where I wouldn't check my emails in the morning, and, you know, that's what I did this morning. I just kind of just prayed in the Spirit, got in the Word, and then the Lord just took me in all kinds of different directions, and it was pretty awesome. But I don't know, the enemy is just constantly trying to keep us distracted. And I think it's really ramped up. A lot of I'm just talking to a lot of people. It just seems like there's just a, you know, there's just a, there's a major spiritual battle going on right now. And it, maybe it is because something's going to happen in September. I don't know. But it seems like just there's just a lot of trials going on. Just, you know, just a lot of silly stuff too. So, but that's what I've been, what I've been experiencing. I don't know. Has anybody else been battling lately? Being distracted lately?
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
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 Well, indeed, I really appreciate what you're talking about, because only this evening, this afternoon, I got hit with one of my weak spots, to be told that I got it wrong, you know, and even though I had it right, they had it wrong, you know, and I'm accused of doing the wrong thing when I was, you know, being considerate of the other, anyway. So I got into, why is it, you know, I'm so victimized all the time. I'm doing the right thing, and I'm still the bad person. You know what? You know, and I really got, really taken with it. You know, really more than usual. So what you said about it's, but at this time it might be a little more difficult, or where your weak places are. Seem to be more vulnerable. So anyway, so it is, and I thought, oh boy, you know, just you know, a few hours before, you know, I said, well, let's see, what will I do for my inner life? I think I can get in the rest. I think I want to do that for the rest of the day. Well, I guess it wasn't too restful. but see how, you know, you can be in such a good place, and then you just, it can just change so quickly, you know, and I was really, I go, wow, you know, I couldn't have been in a very solid place in myself, you know, in the Lord to be taken so easily, so quickly. So it's like, you know, you're up and you're down. Is this what, anyway, I was very discouraged. I go, oh my goodness, you know, I'm so far now from where I need to be. Is this what, is there something wrong with me, you know, that I can be so taken like this? Or is it, you know, it's just up and down, and that's, anyway.
And it usually starts with one thought, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, exactly. That's what caught my attention. We were saying, yeah, it was like the thought was something like, why are you, you know, why do I get condemned when I'm doing the right thing? You know, why do you make me bad, you know? And then, you know, right there, if you can, and I knew it, I knew that that was, knew what I was thinking, and I knew that this is illusion, and it's not, it's, this isn't how God sees me, you know, and for me to be get so taken with that, I'm definitely not willing to be seen, to see myself as the Holy Spirit does, and that's what I need to be doing. And boy, I wasn't. Yeah, like.
And was.
Yeah.
And was that, was that based on something that somebody said to you?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. That's what started it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I mean, that's just a. That's a ploy. Is. You know. The enemy can use anybody, or the Lord can use anybody. And a lot of, you know, we know that the Lord puts people in our path to stir up things that are in us, you know. And it's, and he wants us, because I'm sure you, you know, you may deal with some rejection or some, you know, some different things like that. And we're constantly being tested in that area where somebody will come back and say something against us.
Yeah.
And, you know, with me, dealing, you know, when I dealt with rejection, it was like I never felt good about myself. So when somebody said something against me,
yeah,
it would just cause me to implode. It would just, like, cause me to get all withdrawn and focused in on myself. And
right.
why did I do that or say that, or why do they feel like that? You know, they're right. I'm not worth anything. I'm just stupid or whatever. It is. And it starts with one thought, and
that
thought develops into an emotion, which is our flesh. And, you know, we get into that emotion, and then it just kind of, you know, draws us into, you know, the action as far as that. And what the Lord's trying to teach us is to separate from, it doesn't matter what that person says. It only matters what the Lord thinks. It doesn't matter what that person thinks, you know.
And I knew that. I mean, that was in my mind. I said, boy, you really lost it really quickly. And I knew that because I was believing something that wasn't true. You know, but it was so powerful, that belief in me, boy, you know. Oof. So, but I was surprised that it's there so strongly still. I don't understand that. Well, I guess it just has to be, got to get by it. I have to give it up.
Right. Well, that's just, were you going to say something, Michael?
Yeah. I just wanted to say what the dear sister brought up. You know, Jesus said, the prince of this world is cast down and has nothing in me. And all of us, to varying degrees, have a certain amount. Would to God that we could all say that. I believe God wants to bring us to the place where the prince of this world is cast down but has nothing in me. I mean, I believe God wants that to be all of our testimony, because Jesus, if he was walking right now in Times Square, or if he was walking, he would not be moved by, he would not be influenced by the devil, by the world, by what people are doing.
Yeah.
It wouldn't influence him one bit, because he would be walking in total peace, and the prince of this world has nothing in him whatsoever. And there are some open doors. I mean, I always used to wonder, why is it that Paul says that? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. And I believe with all my heart that this is that, yes, the currents are getting stronger, the warfare is more intense.
Yeah.
But God wants us to be in a place where we walk in perfect peace, and it says that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And that's where God wants us to walk, in a place where the open doors into our life are our thought life, and the Lord said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, honest, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. This is where we need to be dwelling with our mind. And when something comes into our mind and we see it coming and we know ahead of time, sometimes we take the luxury, and I shouldn't say that in the wrong way, but of dwelling on something that we really ought not to.
Yeah.
But if you dwell on it, it'll start to bring forth fruit. And before long, it'll put forth seed and you'll have a mess to clean up. But if we cast it down immediately, when something comes in our mind and we replace it with the Word of God, and I found in my own life that one of the things that, I mean, I encourage all of the brethren to have, especially in the hours we come into, to have Psalm 3, Psalm 27, you know, Psalm 23, Psalm 46, Psalm 91, Psalm 103, so many of these scriptures, Psalm 37, put them away in your heart. Scriptures to stand against the promises of the days we come into, so many promises. But we need to know what our heritage is, and one of the biggest problems the enemy has is our minds. If we don't dwell on the Word of God, we should be meditating day and night on His Word. You know, I know when I lay down at night, I like to sit, lay down, and just, tonight I'm going to go over scriptures in my mind. I do that every night when I lay down in the bed. I lay down and go, okay, tonight I'm going to go through this or go through that portion. And we need to have the words, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, Scripture says. And, you know, if your mind is filled with the Word of God, you'll have a much easier time replacing the thoughts that the enemy wants to bring against us, or the thoughts that the world is continually trying to intrude into our peace and into the rest of Christ. It's always there. But if we be careful, and it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Our words, our thoughts, what we listen to, if you're sitting, like Tim said, if you're, or Michael, if you're listening to country music and listening to the radio, listening to all the your news stuff, and if you're dwelling on this kind of thing, your peace isn't going to be there. And I've had times when I say, I've got to check out what the world's doing, and I'll go down and check, get the news, and I come away, and almost always my peace is disrupted. And it's what we're listening to, what we're looking at, what we're thinking, what we're speaking. And if we can shut those doors and replace all of the thoughts that come our way with the Word of God, replace when a thought comes, we say, I don't receive that. This is what the Word says. And I take a stand that I'm accepted in the Beloved. He is our righteousness. You know, I take a stand with the Word and replace it, and that's what we have to do day in and day out, because we're still running with the footmen. The Scripture says if you run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how are you going to contend with the horsemen? And if in a land of peace you've been troubled, what are you going to do with the swelling of the Jordan? And we're still in Milquetoastville. I mean, we're in a place where we can eat what we want, drive what we want. You know, we still have a lot of liberty and a lot of freedoms. And I believe that God wants to bring us into a place where we can walk on top of the stormy sea, unmoved, with the Son of God. When the Son of God came and there was a great tempest and the ship was tossed back and forth, and they look in the night season and see Jesus walking on top of the waves. That's where Jesus lives. He's not under the waves. He's walking on top of the wave. When the great storm, he's asleep in the boat. And it amazes me. They go, do you not care that we perish? It's amazing that they thought that the boat could sink with the Son of God sleeping in it. That boat wasn't going anywhere, I'm here to tell you. And then he stops and says, rebukes the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And he says, where is your faith? And then they look at each other and say, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And that's where the Son of God walks. The wind and the sea obey him. The storm is under his control. It says, the floods have lifted up their voice. Yea, the floods have lifted up their voice. The Lord is greater than the floods. And he sitteth as king above the floods. That's where the Lord lives. He's king above the floods. And we're coming into a time of great storms. And only those that know their God are going to have peace in this time. And the Lord right now is allowing. I remember in Judges when he says, these are the nations which the Lord left in the land to teach the young men war who hitherto had not known war. He had to leave some enemies to teach them how to fight. And with all of us, if we didn't have anything to try our faith, we wouldn't have faith. And if we didn't have anything to begin to exercise in small matters the faith of Christ, how will we deal with Goliath? When David was tested, he said, when I kept my father's flock, there came into the flock a lion and a bear. And I did take the lion by the beard, and I did slay him. And he that delivered me from the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. He will be as one of them. It was the preparation of the lion and the bear that made him ready to meet Goliath. And God spoke to my heart many years ago and said, I am putting in all of my children's flock a lion and a bear to prepare them for Goliath. And when you deal with your own personal enemies, you'll be ready for the enemies of the nation. And then it'll be time when the word comes to Elijah, and he goes and tells the king, there will no rain fall on this earth but by my word. And he says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the whole earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. He says he's saying that because God did that through Elijah, and he's made of the same stuff you are. There's nothing limiting that we could walk in the same place. And God wants us to come to a place where we begin to deal with the lion and the bear in our camp. And I encourage you, as I'm trying to be this way with myself, where the Scripture says, if you'll judge yourself, you won't be judged. And it's a time right now when God wants us, brothers and sisters, don't fool yourself, don't fool anybody else. If you've got something that's in your camp, if you've got a lion and a bear that's troubling your flock, and if you can't deal with it, get a brother. Brothers will deal with it. One way or another, if we get honest with God, we don't do the play-acting thing, but we be, like it says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes it shall have life. If there's a stronghold, deal with it. Let's deal with it. All of us, it says, Judah said to Simeon, his brother, you go into my camp with me, will fight against the Canaanites, and then I'll go with you into your land. And that's what God wants us to do, to help each other, to take the land. And if you need help, our brothers are there together. We'll fight together to stand, to see the strongholds delivered. Whatever's keeping you back, whatever's pulling you down, if you've got something where you keep getting falling and being pulled down in an area, some brethren can stand with you in this, and that thing can be broken in the name of Jesus, and you can be free, because God is right now allowing us to be tested in these areas so that we'll deal with these areas so that when the big storm comes, we'll be walking with Jesus on top of the waves and not be under the sea.
That's awesome.
Hey, can I ask you something real quick?
Yes, sir.
I'm at a cottage this week with my family, and last Tuesday we were on, I said I had a headache all that day until I read From Perfection Through Christ. I'm going through it with my family. And I did it initially Monday night too, and then Tuesday I woke up with a headache. I went, what is this? And I haven't had one of those in years. But then when I went through the section, the series of teaching again on Tuesday, it relieved and went away from me. And I thought, okay, I feel the presence of the Lord coming on. So I didn't have to bring my Bible, but I brought my laptop, and I put eSword on to give me random verses. So Wednesday morning I had it randomly just bring me up a verse. Says, Lord, what's going on? You know, I want to see if things are wrong or what's something here I got to deal with. And it gave me a passage that basically said, you know, when I, this is ad-libbing what the Bible verses were saying, is that when I bring my self into this place, to lay my peace down there. And then if it's not worthy of my peace, to take it back with me when I leave and wipe my feet off. I thought, that's strange. Let me think this over a little bit. What's he telling me? Well, then I started praying around the place, thinking about it. Well, maybe there's something here I'm fighting, because I kind of had that feeling. And, of course, it's a strange place. And the point was, yeah, there was something here I had to deal with that wasn't for me, but it was something that was in the facility I'm in, this cottage. So I dealt with that. I cast it off, whatever it was. And the point is that we're going to be in spiritual warfare when we walk in wherever we're going sometimes. And we don't even realize it. And I didn't come prepared for that. I just thought, hey, I'm going to come in. I'll start studying on my own. Get my family here locked away. They can't get away from me. They got to listen to me. It's kind of a nice little week I can do that. They haven't got a place to go. They got me as a captive. I got a captive audience when I need them. But it doesn't mean that you're going to walk into an environment where it's safe. You still have to bring your peace with the Lord that's with you and take up a battle of it, confront yourself there to it. You may not be prepared for that. And especially your work environments and wherever else you're going, you got to bring the peace of the Lord with you and let the Lord guide that heart. And that's what I did. I let my peace lie down in this place, and I cast things off, walked around, did some praying in tongues, and everything smoothed right out. But the war is there. We don't necessarily see it because it's not something we're visibly seeing. It's just something we walk in, and it attacks us. That's just what I wanted to share. Tim, are you muted?
I was muted. Anyways, I was saying to myself that the attacks are in the mind, and you know that's really where the battle starts. And there's a group of guys in the local assembly where I'll have guys call me up and say, hey, you know, can we get together? I mean, I had one guy that was kind of in a real struggle, and I mean it was like late one night, and he's like, can we just get together? And we just went out and, you know, got a cup of coffee and talked and prayed. And that's really what this fellowship is about. If you're dealing with a stronghold or something like that, or, you know, you got a battle going on and you want to join in prayer or something like that, if you feel comfortable, that's expose the enemy and we can pray. You know, we can come together and do spiritual warfare, or, you know, join our faith together and stuff like that. Because sometimes, you get into a battle or you're dealing with something and you've lost your peace and you want to get back to that peace. And a lot of times it's just coming together in prayer and just agreeing. and you know, and the Lord will honor that, because like Michael said, is, you know, I mean, the Lord has put, you know, lions and bears in our lives to get us prepared for Goliath. I mean, I think that's a great visual as far as that is. When we're young in the Lord, I mean, we're dealing with these, you know, these situations, but, you know, there's a day coming where we're going to have to face Goliath. And some of us face Goliath on a daily basis, it seems, but, you know, the Lord is just, you know, it's just preparing us and working out of us, you know, the self-will and the pride and you know, trying to get the world out of us and get us dead to our flesh. So, you know, we're all kind of in those same type of the battles, you know. And, you know, he said, you know, judge yourself. You don't have to be judged. And that judging is not putting yourself into condemnation. It's just seeing what you're doing and saying, now I repent. Lord, change my mind. I don't want to be like that, or, you know, and just, you know, claim the promise. I've got the renewed mind of Christ, and, you know, and it's just changing directions, not getting focused in on yourself and beating yourself up and you know, because that's the other thing the enemy loves to do, is we'll get through a battle and he'll try to bring condemnation on us, you know, as far as what we did and how we messed up and all those type of things. But it's you know, and it's true. It's getting our mind just totally saturated with the Word of God. And when I was, you know, dealing with, you know, critical thoughts, because I was delivered with it from a critical spirit, and I just had to get to the point where it was like, love knows no evil. You know, if I'm thinking evil about anything, if I'm criticizing anything, if I'm thinking evil about anybody, that's not love. And it's just, Lord, I repent, you know, and then just go forward. And he slowly works that out of you. As far as that, you just have to be, you know, have the heart to be an overcomer, and you are an overcomer. And but the enemy just, you know, he's just constantly trying to steal our peace, get us looking at ourselves, look what we did, trying to get us to give up, you know, on our walk. And it's just you know, and a lot of times, I mean, it's you know, we do get distracted with, you know, what we're listening to and you know, what we're watching, you know, get pulled into the internet or get pulled into the news or get pulled into whatever it is, and it's just distracting us from the Word. And we just gotta get you know, try to stay as much in the Word as we can and just get right, get our minds right as far as, you know, renewed in Christ. Amen. Excuse me. All right, anybody, any other thoughts? You know what, Gail, I want to pray for you. Let's just put our faith together for Gail. So, Father, right now we just come together and we just lift up Gail to you, and she's seeing how, you know, she can be in the rest, and one little thing just pulls her out of the rest and gets her into a tailspin. And gets her focused in on herself. And Lord, right now we just come against any spirits. We come against any rejection or any condemnation or any spirits that she's dealing with that are trying to steal from her. Lord, Father, if there's anything in her that you're trying to expose, we just ask, Lord, that you just bring it to the forefront, Lord. And we just thank you for just setting her free. We thank you for her renewed mind of Christ. We thank you for helping her to stay in the rest. And help, Lord, we just ask you, just give her the gift of discerning of spirits, that she can discern these thoughts that are coming in that are getting her distracted or getting working in her emotions. We just thank you for just allowing her to see those and being able to take them and cast them down, saying, oh, no, I'm not going to think that. No, nope, that's not me. I cast that down, and I just rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and then just go ahead. So, Lord, we just thank you for just Gail's renewed mind. We thank you for the awesome things you're doing in her, and we thank you for the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So it's casting down those vain imaginations, Gail. They're not yours. They're being planted in there by the enemy. So we got to throw them out.
All right. I'm working on it.
Amen.
I don't get to hide out in my house.
No.
I have to go back out there.
Well, here's the good news. You don't have to work on it. It's already done. Amen. You've already got the mind of Christ.
Already got what?
What's that?
There's one verse that I thought might be an encouragement, the one that says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and then reap in mercy. Pick up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. But if you sow to yourself in righteousness, you'll reap in mercy.
Amen. Amen. All right. You're victorious, Gail. Oh,
thank you.
So, all right. Anybody else dealing with any thoughts, strongholds, anything that they're battling with that we can come together and pray? Anybody want to expose the enemy?
Tim, I'll do that.
Okay,
this
Matt.
Is Pat. I haven't been in the conference calls for quite a while, really. This is probably my first time since probably for a couple of years. I think the last one I was in was with when Paul Reimel was still running meetings or whatever, but the Lord kind of brought me around to for a little bit of background. Basically, I stumbled onto the Unleavened Bread website. I think it was called America's Last Days back then. It was somewhere around 2005, 2004, sometime around in there. And it was kind of after I had moved, I had relocated up here into the Pennsylvania area. I live right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, around Valley Forge. And moved up here basically from the Oklahoma City area in the early 90s. And the Lord led me up this way. I joined a Christian community up here. And we were relocated up here basically. And this was, we moved into this this situation basically, thinking we were going to get out of the modern day Christian apostasy, I guess you might say, and move towards more of an environment where we could get to know and walk with God in a little better way. That kind of went south back around the 2001, 2002 time frame. And so I kind of got spit out the other end of this Christian machine, so to speak. And I was seeking more fellowship, is trying to find God through this whole process, basically. And that's when I stumbled onto the website then. And when I did so, it was like a breath of fresh air. And I started devouring the teachings and that I was listening to the tapes. I probably listened to, 500 messages throughout from the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, etc. So I have been tracking with David's teachings for probably close to 10 years now, and I haven't found anything that I have disagreed with through the process. That being said, I've gone through a lot of the teachings, and one teaching that I was probably into for close to 6 months and I would just listen to the tape on and off, and walking with the Lord to test certain things and learn certain things through the teaching. And that was the power of the tongue. And that was the place where I really struggled in my life. And just to make a kind of a long story short, basically I've come around to see that there is a spirit of some sort of timidity or I'm not quite sure what it is. It's a spirit of fear or a fear of man or something that is functioning in there. And it is, I think I have been dealing with this all of my life, and it really, it's been there all of my life, and I haven't really been able to overcome it or shake it. I just really brought it into my Christian walk and learned to live with it all of these years, I think. And so I don't know where this is going or where, you know, what the Lord wants to do, but he really brought to me a scripture the other day, and it was in Mark chapter 9. And we were, and I ended up reading, actually I was bouncing around here, it had to do with Jesus. A man came to Jesus to cast out a demon out of his son. And he complained that he came to his disciples and his disciples couldn't do it. And so he cast the demon out. And then he came to, his disciples came to Jesus a little bit later and said, "Why couldn't we cast him out?" And he said, "Because of your faith. Nevertheless, this type comes out only by prayer." And it just seemed to hit me at that time that I really needed to come to the group and ask for prayer related to this particular situation. So I guess that's what I'm doing.
Okay. So as far as you feel that you've got a, there's a fear of man there. Is it the fear of what man thinks? Just explain that a little bit more, some of the things you deal with.
It's more of a feeling of wanting to avoid confrontation. I guess that would be the base of it.
Okay.
Is it wanting to avoid confrontation, or is it wanting to avoid the possibility that what winds up either being prayed for or asked for, and it doesn't happen, how to answer for it?
No, I think it's more with man.
Could you? I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
I think what Bart is saying is it more concerned with prayer not being answered or fear of man, right, Bart?
Yeah, because in today's increasingly push button automatic convenience, it happens kind of a world, and where the credibility of Christianity has been just completely, beyond decimated. It's so maligned, so completely discredited, that to embark on such a bold move as to either pray, ask, prophesy, or enact some kind of a verbal thing where a pronouncement where so and so is healed or whatever, if it doesn't happen, then how does the individual face, confront, answer to, or what was perhaps either expected or anticipated or hoped for in terms of an action.
I think I understand what you're saying, and yes, that is in there, but yes, but I think that is a consequence and not the cause.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because I've had times when, obviously, like we all have, the battle with the flesh. I've had times when I've overcome this situation, and the Lord has helped me through certain situations. I've been able to speak into situations by faith, and that in those times, it doesn't bother you. You don't worry about it. You push right on through. It's not an issue because the Lord is with you, and you can sense that that support, shall we say. But for the most part, there is. I'm in a particular job where I am in a role of responsibility, and I give other people direction, and I have to at times stop people and correct people and interject into their life and make certain course corrections and give them, stop people from doing certain things or whatever it would be. And everybody experiences that who's in some sort of a role of responsibility where you're giving direction to others. And there is an inner thing in there there's just a tendency to want to avoid that type of confrontation with individuals if I feel that it might go, there might be a confrontation there or something.
Right.
So.
Can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
Sounds like you might have a little fear of rejection there. Plus, you said you were with the conference call with Paul, and there were some issues going on there too. It might have fed over into you a little bit. That was a little on the intimidation side when Paul was running the conferences, so that might have something to do with it too.
Well, I think this is before Paul, right, Pat?
Yes,
before the conference call. All right, yes, Pat,
this is really something that has been there all my life.
Right.
And it's, I guess what the deal is I'm really beginning to see it more and more and see where it has been a major hindrance or a stronghold there of some sort that the devil can use just to bat me down, you know, type of thing.
Right. All right. Well, Pat, everything you're saying is what I was delivered from, okay? And basically you talking sounds like me, you know, who I was as far as that. And I was... I owned a business, and I loved the business, but I hated to deal with the employees because of confrontation. And it kind of expanded into my marriage, whereas my kids got older, I wasn't being the dad that I should have been because of the fear of confrontation as far as that. And it's something that it pretty much controlled me all my life, okay? And it's all rooted in a spirit of rejection. And mine came from being made fun of as a little kid. And, you know, I was skinny and, you know, my ears stuck out. And, I mean, I was constantly the brunt of all the jokes and laughed at and stuff like that. And the Lord showed me that's when that spirit came in. And I became a workaholic. I was always trying to prove myself. And no matter what I did, I wasn't good enough in my own eyes. And, you know, but the biggest thing I dealt with was fear of man and confrontation. And it was something that just plagued me in everything I did. You know, I wanted to be sort of be a man pleaser because, you know, I was striving to do that. But when anything went wrong, it would just, you know, if you know, there was any type of, you know, conflict or any type of issues in that, it would just, you know, just cause me to kind of crumble inside. And does that sound familiar?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So what that is that's rejection. That's a spirit of rejection. It could have came down through your family line. It could have came down through something traumatic, you know, that happened to you in your life, as far as that. But that's rejection. David has got a awesome article about rejection on the site. Michael, do you know the name of that?
I've read it. I have downloaded. Yeah.
Okay.
More than once. Listened to the message a couple times and read it a couple times.
You know, and that was something that you know, I really, the Lord delivered me, but it really came to the point where I really, when you say, you know, came down to prayer, I really had to. The other thing I felt is I felt like I was a servant to God instead of a son. Okay, I had a hard time feeling accepted by God. I don't know if you deal with any of that, feeling more like a servant rather than a son.
Well, I don't recognize that. I do recognize it just seems like that I'm alone in this process, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, well, I don't know if that relates. No, no, that doesn't click right now.
Okay, that's fine. It's different with different people, you know, as far as that. But everything you're explaining is just sounds like me, and really what it was a spirit of rejection that that had plagued me, you know, most of my life. So pretty much it's been exposed, and we just need to pray, and you know, just come against that spirit, and you know, just kind of put our faith together, and then. What I'll do is I'll give you a call after the conference if that's all right, and then
sure.
You know, we'll talk in some a little bit more depth, you know, as far as that. But let's go ahead and put our faith together and pray for this. All right.
All right.
All right. So Father, we just thank you that you know, you brought Pat in tonight, Lord, and Lord, what everything he's explaining is. Sounds just like how I was, Lord, and that spirit that just tries to control your life and tries to get you into, you know, just looking at self and fear of man and afraid to, you know, just bring any conflict with anybody. And we just come against that spirit of rejection right now, and we just forbid that spirit from you know, we just cast that out right now. We just rebuke that spirit.
Amen.
We bind it in Pat right
Jesus.
Now, and we just call that spirit to loose him now, get off him now in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
And we forbid it to manifest anymore. We forbid it to speak to his head anymore.
Amen.
We just forbid it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Father, we just ask
Amen.
You just. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We just ask you just fill Pat, you know, just renew his mind, fill him fresh with your spirit, Lord.
Yeah.
Father God, just give him a discernment of his thoughts to take his thoughts captive and just see where that lying spirit speaks to his head. And we just thank you, Lord, that he can cast down those thoughts, Lord, that he has been set free. And he is free indeed. And we believe that, and we put our faith together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise
Thank
Jesus.
You, Lord. Yeah, that's just a lying spirit. It really is. So, We just thank you, Lord, for Pat's freedom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So, all right. Kind of winding down here. Anybody else have any last thoughts?
Yeah, we all pray in agreement with you on that, Pat.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Any last revelations, any dreams anybody got? Anybody want to throw anything out there before we close out tonight? Well, let's go ahead and pray. So, Father, we just thank you for another just another awesome night together, Lord, that we can come together and pray and believe and bring our faith together, Lord. We just thank you for setting Pat free tonight, Lord. We just thank you for just your awesome promise. We just thank you for the answered prayers that you're doing in our families. We thank you for just their salvations. We thank you for the miracles. And, I just thought of something. This just totally blessed me. Last, I think it was Friday night, Eve brought up that she had a woman that I think she was in a coma. And the doctors were saying she was brain dead. And that if she came out of it, that she would be, you know, a vegetable or be, you know, like a child or something like that. And, yeah, we prayed together as an assembly. And then I think it was Monday night, Eve said she got a call from her friend that was in the hospital, actually called her on the telephone. And she's up talking, doing great. And it was just an awesome testimony of what God did. You know, the doctors gave her a totally bad report, and we just put our faith together, and he just set this woman free. And the neat thing was, is when she shared it, it was like, everybody's like, oh, praise the Lord. But man, it's just, we're just seeing so much answer prayer when we put our faith together. It's just awesome. So I just wanted to, while I was praying, I thought of that, and it just really blessed me, and just, you know, as far as what the Lord is doing. So, Father, we just thank you for blessing that woman in the hospital, and just, you know, the doctors had given up on her, and you totally healed her. And we just thank you. We just put our faith together. We're thousands of miles away, and you just took care of it. And we just praise you for that, Lord. Father, we just ask you to just continue to work in all our lives, Lord. Just show us the stumbling blocks. Show us the thoughts that keep us distracted from walking in your fullness. Show us the things that get us distracted from being in your word, or distract us when we're in the word. And Lord, we want more of you, Lord. Just help us to fill our minds with your word, with your truth, Lord. So it just is just flowing out of us, Lord. And help us to just totally separate from this world and open up our spiritual eyes to, you know, just to see in the spirit, to see and discern the spirits that we're dealing with and the spirits that are in the people that are around us that we're dealing with, and allow us to separate the flesh from those, you know, from the spirits. We don't, you know, get into judging them in the flesh or anything like that, that we can have compassion for them and just pray for them and just speak blessings over them and not get pulled in, you know, by those thoughts. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for just all that you're doing in our lives. Bless everybody in this conference tonight. Bless their week, Lord. Just bless their dreams. Give them dreams. Give them direction, Lord. Just open up your gifts, Lord, as far as, you know, just in them, pour out your gifts in them, Lord, and we bind up any fear to step out in those gifts, and we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to use us for in the days to come, Lord. And Father God, just prepare our hearts and get us prepared, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.